Hello, and welcome to the Divorced Dadvocate, divorce support for dads, where we help dads create a healthy and less traumatic divorce. My name is Jude Sandoval, and I'm your host. I created this podcast and the Divorced Dadvocate community as a result of my own high conflict divorce, and because you as a dad deserve all the resources necessary to thrive through this challenging time. I encourage you to check out our website at thedivorcedadvocate.com, where there are resources that correspond to this episode, as well as free access to our membership community, where you will find live meetings, free workshops and courses, private discussion groups, and more. And now, on to this week's episode. Hello, and welcome to the show. I'm thrilled that you're here again today, or if this is your first time listening. Thanks for tuning in. We've got a really important topic that I'm going to cover today. I've been monitoring this over a period of time, and it came up in our group meeting again this weekend. And we've had a couple of guys in our group meetings that have dealt with this, and it's becoming ever increasingly difficult or ever increasingly common and very difficult to challenge, to mitigate, and a big challenge. And that is the weaponization of therapy against divorcing fathers, where the therapeutic sessions and the work that the therapists are doing with them as well as with their kids is being used against them in court. So this is a very important topic to circumstance to be aware of if you're going through your divorce. But before I jump in, let's welcome our new members as always. Calvin, Dusty, Carl, Kurt, welcome to the Divorce Dadvocate community. We're so pleased that you're here. If you're not part of the community, check out thedivorcedadvocate.com. There are all kinds of resources at the website there, including the blog, including all of the podcast episodes. There's also the link to downloading the app and also the membership, the different membership options that you have there as well. And then lastly, there is also the divorce quiz, which is an awesome way in which you can gauge where you're at in your divorce compared to others who have gone through it. Also a great tool as well. So there are tools for anybody for whatever, wherever you're at, whatever resource, whether they're free or paid. The memberships obviously give you more opportunity to dive into more stuff and get the support that you need. There's also discounts on coaching, et cetera. So check all that out and feel free to connect with me via the website at thedivorcedadvocate.com. But make sure to get the support that you need. Okay. The weaponization of therapy against divorcing fathers. Like I mentioned in the intro, this is becoming more and more common. So the good thing that is happening in our society is that therapy is becoming more common and more acceptable, particularly for men. Men are seeking more therapy. The challenge and the problem that that we are seeing is partly that some of this is biased by a industry dominated by women. And that's also a cottage industry in the family law courts, where there are therapists that are simply the ones that are doing reintegration therapy. They're not necessarily good, and they just have residual clients because they know the attorneys and they know the system, et cetera. So, divorce is definitely one of life's most stressful events. And, you know, for us dads navigating separation, the journey can be particularly challenging. And so amidst these legal battles and emotional upheaval and the complexities of co-parenting, there's this additional hurdle, which is therapy. So in recent times, therapy has increasingly become a battleground against divorced fathers, perpetuating stereotypes and complicating their path towards healing. So what we're going to do is we're going to delve into how therapy can inadvertently become a weapon targeting not only, you're going to hear, we're going to talk about the difference of this, but authoritarian parenting, but also perpetuating negative views of masculinity. So let's first talk about the pitfalls of authoritarian parenting. And this is a really misunderstood narrative. In therapeutic context, the term, quote, authoritarian parenting often carries a negative connotation. And while it's critical to address unhealthy power dynamics within families, it's equally important to distinguish between authoritarian and authoritative parenting styles. Now, I've heard this now multiple times in our group meetings and in coaching with some of the guys where we're getting the courts talking about CFI investigations and PRE investigations and therapists and other people talking about this authoritarian way in which dads one of the dads is parenting. And so authoritarian parenting, and I did a whole podcast on this before. So if you want to dive into the difference of this, but you really should know and get versed on the differences because it may come up and we are trending towards a mindset of authoritative parenting, while is the best possible way to be parenting your children, is not acceptable, particularly because it is the way that dads typically will parent more so than moms. So authoritarian parenting is characterized by strict rules, punishment, and little room for open communication. However, authoritative parenting, which shares some similarities but emphasizes warmth, responsiveness, and mutual respect, is often more effective in promoting healthy child development. So there is a different, think of a drill sergeant versus maybe a caring father that is going to stand his ground, set boundaries, but do it in an empathetic and loving way. So therapy sessions sometimes, and I would say oftentimes, overlook this crucial distinction. And I've experienced this too. Fortunately, unlike some of the guys that have been in our group sessions, I have largely avoided a detrimental circumstances from therapists and the therapy because of this and because of me standing up to it. But other guys have had this weaponized and actually utilized against them in court and in the determination of their parenting time. So therapy sessions will oftentimes overlook this critical distinction. And I've sat in therapy sessions with a therapist and said, no, I don't agree with what you're saying. By unfairly labeling divorcing fathers as authoritarian without considering the nuances of their parenting approach. So for instance, a father who emphasizes structure and discipline may be perceived as authoritarian when in reality he is striving to provide stability amidst the turmoil of divorce. So here's an example. Consider a father who amidst the stress of divorce becomes more assertive about parenting decisions. Now, part of this also may be a father growing in his understanding of the relational dynamics that he has had in his marriage, but also in the family unit. You've heard me talk about the relational dynamics, and everybody, takes two people to have a dynamic. And so oftentimes, and it's particularly true with those of us who are codependent, who then start to be assertive in setting boundaries, then this becomes very difficult and challenging for our exes or soon to be exes, but also our children, because these dynamics are not just isolated to our romantic interactions, but they show up in our relationships with our children, as well as our professional relationships, et cetera. So that then might become where the children are feeling like you're being authoritarian when you're simply setting boundaries. So, you know, in therapy, this could be misconstrued as authoritarianism rather than a coping mechanism for maintaining stability in the child in the children's lives. In the failure to distinguish between healthy assertiveness and authoritarianism can lead to biased therapeutic interventions, unfairly positioning fathers as the antagonists in family dynamics. And this is also where you will get kids pushing back. And then if you have an unhealthy acts or soon to be acts that is wanting to perpetuate or utilize the kids against the dads, then they start saying things and alienating the kids. And then the kids, obviously, and I've experienced this myself, the kids are always going to default towards where there is less responsibility or not as much discipline or not as much structure, because that is just easier. So in a dynamic, a healthy parenting dynamic, fathers provide one thing, which is more around this authoritative type parenting, and mothers provide the other. And so when you split those apart and then you have one environment and then the other, it's going to be very different. And then the challenge then here is you get the pushback. And then if you have somebody adding fuel to the fire, like an unhealthy, mentally unstable, soon to be ex or an ex, then that makes things even worse and difficult and challenging for the kids to understand. Moreover, therapy can inadvertently reinforce the gender stereotypes, portraying us fathers as emotionally distant or incapable of nurturing relationships, which is absolutely not true. This narrative not only undermines fathers' efforts, but also perpetuates societal misconceptions about the roles in the family unit. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more now. But I want to pause here, because hopefully I scared you a little bit, but I don't want to scare you too much, because I want you to know that, and we talk about this all the time, especially with the guys that are going through this and are being alienated or have been alienated and having to deal with that. And I'm dealing with that with one of my children, is that there is nothing, I want you to know that there is nothing more important in your children's lives than your involvement. There are things that only you can provide in your kiddos' lives that nobody else can as a father. This has been, you've heard me say it if you listen to more than one podcast, and if you've been on any of our group meetings or you've coached with me, you've heard me say this, that no matter that, and I'm not just making this up. This is statistically, there are studies, there are statistics, everything says that the primary indicator of a child having a healthy and functioning adult life is that they have a father in their lives. So I just want to say that again to you, because if you are going through this and you're dealing with these challenges and you're having to fight, keep in that fight, because that fight is incredibly difficult, but it is the most important fight that you can take on for your kids. Okay, off the soapbox with that, but just a reminder for you guys. So let's talk then about the stigma surrounding masculinity in therapy, which is another problem that we're starting to see, but it's also being weaponized in addition to this authoritative parenting dynamic. Masculinity is often viewed through a narrow lens in therapeutic settings. Traditional masculinity, masculine traits like stoicism and independence are being pathologized rather than understood. This perspective not only discourages men from seeking help, but also perpetuates harmful stereotypes about their emotional capacities. And I see guys struggling with this all the time, particularly the ones like the ones like myself who are codependent and then are starting to be assertive, but then are getting pushback and are starting to set boundaries and doing things to take care of themselves, but then everybody else in their lives who are not used to this are pushing back on them, and then they think that there's something wrong with them and that they're crazy, and really, they're just setting healthy boundaries. They're exhibiting their masculine nature of having having goals, you know, wanting to strive, move forward, have structure, have discipline, have focus, all of those things that are traditionally positive masculine traits that then are being pushed back on, and then they're being told that there's something wrong with them. So it didn't help that the APA, the American Psychological Association, made headlines recently with its guidelines on treating men and boys. And what they did is they were addressing toxic masculinity and its effects on mental health by classifying masculinity as a mental illness by some factions within the therapeutic community. And this has sparked controversy and further perpetuated negative portrayals of masculinity. If you want to see a really good piece on this and how BS it is, I encourage you to Google, or not Google, but go on YouTube, or maybe just Google also, Dr. Sean T. Smith. He's been on the show multiple times, and the APA and toxic masculinity. Sean T. Smith, Dr. Sean T. Smith, the Iron Shrink, APA, toxic masculinity. He does a whole piece. It's about, I think, at least a half hour, 45 minutes long, and he goes through all of their crap and how he, and he completely disassembles what they're, what they've talked about and what they're talking about as far as therapeutic interventions for quote unquote toxic masculinity, because we don't have any therapeutic interventions for toxic femininity. So it's complete crap. But, you know, therapy should be a safe place for individuals and men and dads to explore their emotions and vulnerabilities. Yet many men feel pressured to conform to societal expectations of masculinity. Hey, we're doing this with our boys, unfortunately, in their early lives, in their adolescence and in their school, by trying to teach them to be little girls and not to utilize what their masculine traits are. And so even, you know, this, and that is creating a big, big problem. There's a great book called The Boy Crisis that I highly recommend that you talk about, or that you read, that talks about this and how you can I don't want to say a better job, but how you can help your young boys not get into this, particularly in our schools. So let's talk now about, so that's kind of the lay of the land, right? So I say this because we're hearing lots of negotiations between attorneys. Obviously, we care about our kids' mental health, but we want to make sure that we get in to therapy ourselves and our kids, or in family therapy with somebody that is going to be a benefit to the situation and help our kids along and help us have a healthy familial dynamic. So what I want to share next is questions for you to ask potential therapists, because I think these are critical. I would say that the majority of therapists don't have the ability to deal with a high conflict situation. So just keep that in mind. And I would also say that a high percentage of therapists have some sort of bias. It is a female dominated profession. So that's just going to, I think it's just going to happen by nature. So finding the right therapist is essential for us divorcing dads seeking support during the challenging time. So here's some questions to help ensure that therapists are sensitive to the unique needs and experiences of dads and our kids. The first one being, can you tell me about your experience with divorcing fathers? And this is pretty straightforward. It just, the question allows fathers to gauge the therapist's familiarity with their specific circumstances and challenges, right? That's a straightforward, easy one to ask. The next one is a little more straightforward and a little more challenging, and I would pay very close attention to the answer you get from it, and that is, how do you approach issues related to masculinity and gender in therapy? And then the follow-up to that is, what is your view on traditional gender roles, and how does it inform your therapeutic practice? I'm going to say those all over again in case you want to write those down. How do you approach issues related to masculinity and gender in therapy? And then the follow-up is, what is your view on traditional gender roles, and how does it inform your therapeutic practice? So by asking these questions, we can assess whether the therapist recognizes and respects diverse expressions of masculinity and avoids reinforcing these harmful stereotypes. Additionally, they can gauge whether the therapist challenges traditional gender norms, perpetuates them, ensures that, or is buying into some of our cultural BS that's going on with toxic masculinity. And what this is going to do, it's going to ensure a therapeutic environment that promotes authenticity and self-expression. So, important question. The next one is around the authoritarian parenting one, and that is, what is your understanding of authoritarian parenting, and how do you address parenting dynamics in therapy? Guys, this is a really, really critical one, particularly if you think that your ex or soon to be ex has some kind of mental emotional issues, mental illness, personality disorders, etc., so that you can try to understand where the therapist is coming from. If they have well versed in this, that is helpful. I would say the majority are not, and this is also critical in when that pushback starts to come from kids or an ex who is, you know, listen, guys, here's the long and short of it. If your ex or soon to be ex is not 100% on board, and this goes for us guys too, but I don't usually have to say that to us guys, at least the ones in our community. If they are not 100% on board in cultivating, not only cultivating, but helping to facilitate a relationship with you, there is something wrong with them. They have some sort of mental emotional issue going on that is going to impact your children, is going to impact you post-divorce. So if they're not 100% believe that you need to be in their lives, that you need to be part of the kids and part of the decision-making and part of the parenting, then they've got issues. So it's critical then to know how this therapy can be weaponized. And the authoritarian versus authoritative is one of them. So the question is, what is your understanding of, quote, authoritarian parenting, and how do you address parenting dynamics in therapy? Now, the follow-up to that one is, how do you involve fathers in the therapeutic process and decision-making regarding their children's well-being? I'll read that follow-up again. How do you involve fathers in the therapeutic process and decision-making regarding their children's well-being? So this question enables fathers to explore the therapist's perspectives on parenting without preconceived biases, ensuring a balanced approach that considers individual family dynamics. Additionally, fathers can inquire about the therapist's approach to involving both parents in co-parenting discussions, ensuring that their voices are heard and valued in shaping their children's futures. Guys, this is absolutely critical. Somebody in our group that has somehow gotten himself into a situation where the narrative is that his kids are don't want to spend time with him. His kids are afraid of him. I've had that one attempted in my life as well. It's just a complete BS. And unless a therapist knows and understands and is figuring out how to get through this this process and uncover and make sure that none of this is being manipulated, then you have to pay attention to it. You absolutely. So let me read those again for you. What is your understanding of authoritarian parenting, and how do you address parenting dynamics in therapy? And the follow-up is, how do you involve fathers in the therapeutic process and decision-making regarding their children's well-being? So in this instance, I'm talking about one of the guys in our group. He's not even being involved. And I've seen this many times where the therapists are saying, well, the kids aren't comfortable yet. Oh, the kids don't want to talk to you. Oh, and then they might just come to a conclusion with a CFI or a PRE that, you know, it's probably in the best interest that the kids don't spend a great amount of time with the dad because the kids just don't feel comfortable. I hear that all the time, guys, and that's complete crap. That should never happen unless there is some sort of physical abuse. We're getting this whole dynamic where, well, we should listen to the feelings of the kids. Well, you know what? I don't know about you, but when I was 8 and 10 and 13 and 15, 17, even 19, 24, 25, like our prefrontal cortex doesn't completely develop until 25 years old. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I didn't know what my feelings were about stuff. So, you know, saying that, that their feelings and this is what they want and they don't know what they want. That's why it's incumbent upon us as parents to be able to be there to help guide them and help learn about that. And again, if both parents are not involved in that, both parents have some sort of input that is going to benefit them in the future. Cutting out dads and saying, well, they shouldn't be spending time is complete crap. So just be careful of that and make sure that you are involved. And if you get into reintegration therapy or family therapy or anything else, and you're not involved in that process in a very short amount of time in the early stages of that process, then you need to start asking questions and finding out and getting into sessions with them. Okay. And get on the group calls with us, guys, and become part of the membership community, because these are the conversations that we're having regularly in trying to mitigate this and helping the guys to deal with this. Because like we're talking about this weekend, we're strategizing with this guy about what he can do and how he can go forward and how he can mitigate some of this, because it's going to have an impact on your kids if you don't nip it in the bud earlier. Okay. The next and last question I'm going to give you to ask is, can you provide examples of how you have supported men in overcoming barriers to seeking help and expressing vulnerability? And the follow-up to that is, how do you handle conflicts or misunderstandings that may arise due to gender-related differences between clients and therapists? Now, that's a big one. That second one, because that's going to give you an idea of where they're going to go if they're asked questions by a CFI or if they get put on the stand, et cetera. This question allows fathers to assess the therapist's ability to create a supportive and non-judgmental environment conducive to healing and personal growth. Additionally, they can explore the therapist's conflict resolution strategies and commitment to maintaining a respectful and collaborative therapeutic relationship, which is absolutely, positively huge, especially if you think that you're going to be dealing with, and look, you guys know you're soon to be ex or your ex, and whether that may potentially be a problem. And I always say, and it's good advice, if I may say so myself, plan for the worst, hope for the best. So plan for the worst. And if any of these questions that you're asking raise red flags, then go to the next therapist. And I highly recommend doing your research of therapists outside of ones that your attorney or your ex's or soon to be ex's attorney recommend, because this is a cottage industry. And these, my experience, and I've heard lots of it, well, the attorneys recommended this reintegration therapist or that family therapist or this one or that one. You know what? They're not out there looking for and finding their clients because they've done a good job. It is a cottage industry. They just keep churning through clients because they're part of the system. They know how to work the system. They've ingratiated themselves either to judges or magistrates or attorneys, et cetera. And so look outside of those recommendations. Yes, it is another thing that you have to do work for. Yes, it takes a lot of work talking to people, talking to other dads, interviewing them. But trust me, if you get into this situation, because here's what the courts are doing. The courts don't want to have any liability for what the decisions are they're making. So they're looking for these experts, these third-party experts. It's the PREs, it's the CFI investigation, whatever you call it in your area. And all of these go and look to therapists who are the quote-unquote experts. And if we've learned anything over the last 3 years with quote-unquote experts, that experts aren't always in the know and experts really screw up a lot. So you make sure to find your expert and one that you trust that is going to be weighing into your children's lives, your lives, your family's life, the dynamic, et cetera, because it could have long-term consequences if you don't. All right. By asking these questions during the therapist selection process, us dads can ensure that we find a therapist who not only understands our unique experiences, but also respects and validates our journey towards healing and growth. So in conclusion, the weaponization of therapy against divorcing fathers reflects broader societal misconceptions about gender, parenting, and mental health. But by challenging these narratives and promoting an inclusive and empowering approach to therapy, we can create a space where all of us, regardless of gender, feel supported on our journey towards healing and self-discovery. And I'll add to that, that we can protect our children and make sure that they are having an experience, if it's a therapeutic experience, that is positive and that is going to be beneficial for them in the long run. All right, fellas, I hope that this was really, really helpful. If you have questions about this or you're experiencing this, please weigh in and leave some comments. As always, if you found value, leave some comments or leave us a star rating. Share it with somebody else, another divorcing dad. But connect with us too if you're dealing with this. Get into the membership community. Come on some of our group calls. Get some coaching, because this can have a significant impact as well on the future in your post divorce life with your kiddos. Thanks again for listening. I sincerely appreciate it. Have a terrific week. We'll talk to you next week, and God bless. To hear the rest of this episode and access the corresponding resources, visit thedivorcedadvocate.com and become a member of our community. It's free to join and will provide you with the resources you deserve as a divorced or divorcing dad. Thank you for listening. God bless, and I'll talk with you next week.